Current state here on 90.5 WKAR. Ibuprofen is one of the most widely used over-the-counter pain medications in the United States. Many consumers know it under such brand names as Advil and Motrin. The labeling on these products claims it treats a variety of pains, from headaches to arthritis to the common cold. A growing body of research in the last few years suggests those labels should contain stronger warnings. Studies have shown links between ibuprofen and cardiovascular and gastrointestinal disorders. And some medical experts are themselves sounding the call. Here to talk with us about the possible risks associated with ibuprofen is Dr. Beth Alexander, the university physician here at Michigan State University. Dr. Alexander, welcome back.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit more about how ibuprofen works. How does it work? What's it designed to do?
Well, ibuprofen is one in a whole class of drugs, all of which have very similar side effects and have the same actions you just described. And they're called NSAIDs, and that stands for non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. Aspirin is also one, but it is not usually included in the discussion about this because it was here a long time before all those other ones. But we've known for quite a while that they all have similar side effects, a little bit different depending on the length of action, but they act by inhibiting an enzyme called a cyclooxygenase. And there's both there are about 20 of them that are marketed in this country and are available both over the counter in and also in higher dose prescription strength. Then there's a selective inhibitor of the cyclooxygenase, which is the group that Vioxx and Bextra, which were taken off the market.
Right.
And Celebrex is the one that's available in this country. There are others in other countries.
And what have we learned more recently about the side effects of ibuprofen?
Well, the side effects of ibuprofen and the other drugs in this class, pretty much all of them, are in three categories. There are renal side effects, and they, for people who have high blood pressure, they can make that worse. They can be toxic to the kidneys. So for people who have renal disease, they can make that worse. And they have gastrointestinal side effects, mainly bleeding and ulcers. And so for people with that set of challenges, this class of drugs makes those symptoms, or can make those symptoms, worse. And then their cardiac side effects. That's the other major category. Most of the cardiac side effects are by making the blood pressure worse, but there are separate cardiac side effects as well. So generally, the side effects are more common in people with certain diseases and are more common the older you get, and are more common the higher the doses you are taking and the length of time you take them. So they're safer when taken intermittently, and safer at lower doses, and safer if you're 25 instead of 65.
And it suggests, I guess, apparently the research indicates there are times when it's advisable, it's more recommended that you take an NSAID than other times.
Yes, and there are people for whom it's safer than other people. And so I think we've become a little more aggressive in trying to warn people who are at higher risk of the side effects of these drugs about if they need to take them, how they should take them, and trying to give them alternatives if they really shouldn't be on them. The irony is the people who really need drugs that help joint pain and musculoskeletal pain are older people, and those are the very people for whom extended use over age 60 is not recommended.
Our guest on Current State, Dr. Beth Alexander, university physician here at Michigan State, and we are talking about recent research suggesting that greater caution ought to be used when ingesting NSAIDs, which include ibuprofen and various other NSAID again stands for non-steroidal anti-inflammatory
drug,
like Advil, Motrin. Advil and Motrin, Naproxen, are aggressively marketed. We've all seen TV commercials for the latest pill that lists a long string of potential side effects as a disclaimer. Not so, though, with drugs like Advil and Aleve. Why is that?
I don't know. They've managed to get by with it, is what I would say, because we've known about those side effects for a while. The ones that are over-the-counter, I think people assume that they're safer than perhaps they really are and can take them in large amounts. They just take more pills or take them for extended periods of time. And of the hospitalizations in this country, about 6 to 7% of all hospital admissions are from drug side effects, any kind of drug side effect. Mm-hmm. And of those admissions that are from drug side effects, about 12% of them are drug side effects of this class of drugs. So it's not uncommon when you think about serious side effects.
I am a longtime ingester of up to 800 milligrams of ibuprofen, mm-hmm. sometimes three times a day, mm-hmm. when I've been battling one painful malady or another, and there are a lot of people
like me
who have come to regard ibuprofen and other NSAIDs as more or less benign. It seems like
right.
There's some awareness raising that needs to
there
be
is.
Taking place here.
Actually, both among patients and among
physicians
yeah. and healthcare providers, because I think many still prescribe them for the older set without really thinking about whether it's wise.
And so is the front line, you can say there's a front line on both sides of this. The clinicians need to be maybe more aware of this, but obviously people who are accustomed to taking
right.
Ibuprofen need to be
And it doesn't mean don't ever take them, what I would say to you. Be aware of the risks. Take as low a dose as you can. And try not to take them sort of continuously for an extended period of time. Those things are protective. Take them with food. And talk to your healthcare provider if you should have any one of several conditions that would make the risks much higher. High blood pressure is one. Cardiovascular disease is another. Any kidney disease, gastrointestinal disease. And if you're on one of several other medicines that will interact adversely with this class of drugs. And I think those things, we're doing not a good job of educating the public about it.
Ibuprofen is generally quite effective as a pain reliever, though.
Yes.
Is it not?
Yes, it
yeah,
is. That's its appeal.
It works. Yeah. Some of these studies in the past 5 years have pointed to, we mentioned gastrointestinal damage. By taking ibuprofen before and possibly even during exercise, how common is this situation?
Well, it's pretty common. The people who exercise intensively and need it are generally, this is a stereotype, a bit younger. So you don't see a lot of 90-year-olds taking ibuprofen before they exercise every day because they don't exercise to that level, although there are some now that we say exercise is good for you. More and more people who are in their 60s, 70s, and 80s are exercising regularly, and they often will take an ibuprofen.
This is really hitting close to home. I have struggled with borderline osteoporosis for
right.
many years. I've combated that with three times a week visits to the weight room. The weight training has led to a reliance on ibuprofen.
Right.
And on occasion, that has meant taking 600 milligrams of ibuprofen immediately before I go into the weight room. So I am sitting here reviewing my relationship with NSAIDs.
With ibuprofen.
As we have this discussion.
Right.
Continuing.
Right. And the hard part is there aren't perfect pain-relieving medicines that have no side effects. So you have to be educated about what...
Side effects.
Side effects.
Specifically. Dr. Beth Alexander is the university physician here at Michigan State University. We've been talking about NSAIDs, which include Ibuprofen, many thanks, Dr.
You're
Alexander.
You're welcome. Keep exercising.
Okay.